would you like to sell your business at the highest possible price and boost business value and personal wealth with smart pre-sale planning? Joe Lopresti will tell us how to do it. And what's so special about Joe Lopresti is he's the founder and CEO of ClearPath Family Office and Arlington Wealth Management, bringing nearly four decades of experience in wealth advisory. So Joe, please tell us, how can entrepreneurs sell their business at the highest possible price? And what's the vehicle for doing so?
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Well, there's a lot of different variables, Lily, that is required if you're going to get the highest possible price. So there's an assessment that should be done of a business to see where their strengths are, where their weaknesses are, and this should be done from a buyer's perspective if we're talking about sale price. You know, business owners tend to think about their business and value it differently than a buyer would. So we really want to strengthen the areas of the business that a buyer is going to really dive in deep and scrutinize and improve those areas so they're willing to pay more money for the business.
Tell us about the business sellability score and what's included in it that will allow a potential buyer to evaluate what a business should cost.
So there are a number of different metrics that focus on specific things that go beyond just making money and are most likely much different than the way, again, the owner measures their business. Things like how dependent the business is on the owner. A company that depends heavily on the owner isn't as valuable to a buyer unless you plan to work for them. Most buyers aren't necessarily looking to buy a job. They're looking to buy a business that could work for them. So that's an important item to look at. Another one is, what is your competitive advantage? What's your unique differentiator that your company has to differentiate it from competitors? And that's going to be more valuable to maybe a strategic buyer that can offer that advantage to an already existing customer base that they have and just plug it right in. And, you know, that could be very valuable for a strategic buyer. But if you don't have a strong competitive advantage, it's not going to be as valuable. Another big area is how your revenues occur. Are they recurring revenue streams? That is very valuable to a buyer because it's predictable and it's comforting knowing that they don't have to start at zero every month or year where there's money that's going to be continuously flowing in. So those are a few of the more important ones. There's probably 8 to 10 different key metrics that are important from a buyer's perspective that determine your sellability score.
Thank you. Tell us your 10 commandments for a business to optimize their sellability score so that when they get to sell it, it becomes a lot more valuable.
Yeah, so we've already mentioned a few of them. I don't know if there's necessarily 10 specific commandments in that, you know, but essentially what I think a business owner should do is start at knowing what their value is today. So have a valuation done. It doesn't have to be a certified valuation. It could just be a valuation that's based on, depending on the size of the business, there's different ways to value a business. But let's say using private market transactions, these are private businesses that have actually sold, and look at their industry. And typically every industry is going to have a range of values from a certain multiple of cash flow, EBITDA, earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, up to a higher level. Then do an assessment on these different metrics, the sellability score metrics, to see how they stack up. And then we could place them and show them what their valuation is. And then importantly, it's good to know what the industry range is and how the best companies in the industry, what multiples they've sold for. So they could then work to get to a higher sellability score, which is going to increase their value and bridge that gap. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Tell us more about some hacks you have personally implemented working alongside some entrepreneurs that have sought your help in order to sell their business. And what are the kind of steps that other entrepreneurs can leverage in a similar way so that they can also optimize their sellability score or just implement certain things that perhaps most entrepreneurs overlook in terms of increasing the value of their business?
Yes. So let's start with the current value. We need to know what the current state is. Okay. We need to know where they fall in the industry range of values. We need to know how they stack up on the sellability score. And then we could could develop a strategic plan and put specific action items in place that they could improve on the parts of the sellability score that they score weak in. And that could increase their sale price. That's number one. Number two, once we know what the current value is, we don't want to just focus on price because it's, you know, this is relative to an entrepreneur's life. So we need to know what they need from the business along with other assets that they may have to be able to reach what I call their freedom point. And that's when they've accumulated enough wealth that they could live the life that they want without financial concerns. So once we know their value and we know what their freedom point is, we know if they're at their freedom point, then we could move quicker towards the exit because they're already there. They already have enough money to be able to live the life that they want. But if there's a gap between the wealth that they have and the wealth that they need, then we move on to the next phase. And that is, number one, we want to protect the value of the business that they've built up so far so they don't lose that. So look at risks mitigation and look at where their biggest dangers are and eliminate those. And that could be usually done pretty quickly. Then we go into value enhancement. And if they need a higher price for their business to live the life that they want, we'll set out a strategic plan that will guide them on what areas that they need to focus on, what specific metrics they should improve on. It could be getting them out of the center of all of the operations or being the only salesperson or key salesperson of the business. For example, that owner dependency. It could be building a story of what their competitive advantage is to be able to articulate to buyers. It could be changing the way that they're billing customers to make it be more of a recurring revenue stream, right? So all of those things could enhance value. Finally, we'll look at the readiness of the business. Not all businesses are ready to transition. And a buyer, at least a knowledgeable one, is going to look at that. And if they see that your business is not ready to transition, it's not as valuable to them. So we'll look at the business readiness and do an assessment on a number of different factors there. And we'll also look at the owner's personal readiness, because that's a big factor in when you're talking about private businesses. If the owner is not ready to move on, you know, these are generally people that have spent decades building from scratch a business that's valuable, that has some value, and it's kind of their identity and their baby. They need to spend some time to plan what their next chapter in life is going to be. What are they going to do, you know, Monday morning after they've sold the business, and have that thought out. And we'd help them develop a personal action plan on all things exit related. So all of those items that I just went through is kind of in a nutshell, the process that will help a business owner that wants to maximize their value and ultimately wants to harvest that value.
Thank you. Can you share with us three case studies of entrepreneurs or companies you've worked alongside where you've implemented, let's say, one strategic measure that really added a lot to their bottom line?
Yes. So that's a difficult thing to measure without, you know, having the numbers right in front of you. But, you know, I could think of one manufacturing business owner that came to us. And, you know, in addition to just working with business owners on exiting their business and designing that exit, we also bring collaboration of different types of advisors together in our family office. And that's, I think, a big factor of why clients work with us, why the business owners work with us. Today, they tend to get advice from different advisors. I call it siloed advice. Maybe an accountant, maybe a financial advisor, maybe an attorney. There could be business advisors that they're working with. But it's difficult for them to coordinate all of that advice into something that is a strategic plan. So that's where the family office comes in, where we have business advisors, wealth planners, and niche planning specialists all in the same team that is coordinating the business strategy with their personal wealth planning and collaborating on synergistic strategies. And by doing that, you can not just improve the value of your business, but do other things that are equally important. So, for example, for one manufacturing owner client that I'm thinking of, that we were able to, through that initial valuation and identifying the gap, their industry range of value gap that I spoke of earlier, we're able to increase the value of the business by just under $5 million. But we also were able to increase their after-tax cash flow in their personal life through implementing some advanced cash flow solutions, the after-tax cash flow by 30%. So that's a huge benefit for a family. And in some cases, it's a difference between selling it for a higher price and not needing the higher price because the income that they're getting, after-tax income they're getting, is higher through personal wealth planning, right? And of course, we're also able to put a solid estate and wealth transfer plan in place for their family and an asset protection plan in place to help them avoid catastrophic risks in their personal life.
Thank you. Brand associations and joint venture partners that have a similar target market but not competing with the business could also be a great addition to the bottom line of a company that is considering selling. And I'm wondering whether this is something you also help with, or are there any other strategies that are, you know, a great addition to everything you've already mentioned that it seems so valuable to increase the sellability score? And I find sometimes that having the right brand associations and celebrity endorsements or influencer endorsements could, you know, dramatically and significantly increase the value of a particular company. Do you agree with that? Or is there something else that you would recommend doing instead?
I think that's very much company specifically. I'm sure I don't personally have experiences where influencers, you know, have worked with the businesses that we advise, but I'm sure that there's cases out there where it's made a significant impact for that business owner's value.
Thank you. Is there any other strategy that you recommend for a company to increase their sellability score? Or if you'd like, you can tell us about some mistakes that most entrepreneurs make that reduce their sellability score.
Yeah, we've touched on a few already. I think the owner dependent, probably the biggest one that comes up time and time again, is owner dependency and thinking that, well, I built this great business and it provides a great living for me and funds my lifestyle. But taking them out of it and, you know, from an outsider looking in, they don't see it that way. They see it as too dependent on the owner. And unless that owner plans on working for the new buyer, it's not as valuable to them. So I think that that's a big one. There's also other things that we haven't touched on. Customer concentration is going to be looked at. So if your business is heavily dependent on a couple of customers, that's not as valuable to a buyer as opposed to one that has a diverse customer base. Because a lot of times with smaller businesses, the owner has the relationship with the customer. And if that owner's not there, it's more likely that customer might find a different, a competitor to do their business with. So reducing customer concentration, reducing vendor and supplier concentration is important. And we're seeing that more and more, of course, with COVID and the supply chain issues that we had then, tariff wars, and so having diversity of and the ability to move from different vendors and suppliers depending on the industry that they're in is also very important for a sellability score. So those are the big ones. And then I would go back to not just the business, but the owner and the owner's readiness to move on, the planning that they've done, the legacy that they want to leave. In many cases, they've been working in a community for decades. And, it's scary to turn that reputation over to a new buyer, a new owner, not knowing how their, what legacy they're going to, continue, how they're going to treat the employees, and thinking all those things through ahead of time in a proactive way, you can negotiate with a buyer. But the mistake that a lot of business owners make is they don't think about it until after the fact, and they think, well, I wish I could have handled it that way, or I wish I could have known about this. And that's why many business owners have regret after they sell, because they didn't do enough pre-planning, and they could have thought it through better and had a better experience overall, and probably sold for a higher price along the way.
Thank you. Tell us about the impact of customer lifetime value on the sellability score of a business.
Yeah, it's very important. And it kind of goes back to recurring revenues. Right. If you have the type of business where once you sign a client or customer up, those revenues continue until they decide that they don't want to do business with you anymore, as opposed to having to sign annual engagements, for example, or selling one service or product and then having to go back to them and sell another service or product with a new agreement. So customers that are with you on a recurring basis, have a lot more lifetime value than customers that aren't. So that's why the recurring revenue concept and that metric is so important in determining that the value of your business and your sellability score.
Thank you. Tell us about AI business growth tools and their integration in the business as and its impact on the business sellability score.
Did you say AI tools?
Yes, AI growth and business tools.
So, I mean, that's not my area, right? But certainly we use AI in our business. It's helped our productivity quite a bit, particularly from a branding standpoint and marketing standpoint. And I think it's definitely a step up from what small and mid-sized business owners have had available to them pre-AI. So I think it's something that all business owners should be using to some extent or the other in their business for growth.
Thank you. I was referring mainly to the fact that as I'm seeing AI tools being integrated in a lot of companies, I'm thinking that perhaps some companies who are not integrating AI may be left behind. So perhaps by comparison, those companies that are not integrating AI at all could be perhaps getting a lower valuation on the basis of comparing to other companies who are doing so. Would you see the trend going in that direction, or you see that actually, some companies are not impacted of the implementation of AI tools for the moment, but perhaps in the future things could change.
Yeah, I think it's still in the early, stages of AI development. I mean, it's only been around for a few years, really. So we can't say it's mature at this point. And certain industries are going to be impacted more than others. But eventually, I think pretty much every industry is going to be impacted by AI. And while it doesn't come up a lot in terms of you know, do when we're when buyers are doing due diligence on a business to consider buying, we're not necessarily seeing AI analysis come up a lot, because I think, you know, many cases they look at that as an opportunity. A company that isn't using AI, they could buy and be able to implement AI and improve productivity. And that's an opportunity for them to grow value over and above what they paid for a business.
Thank you. What are some emotional triggers or emotional ways of leveraging for, let's say, for you to be able to sell your business at the highest price? What kind of, what needs to be in the communication with a potential buyer in order to enroll that person into being able to sell your business at the highest price? Or are there any other factors that are not emotional that would, you know, allow you to sell your business at the highest price?
Yeah, if it's the emotional side, it's having a good story. You know, buyer's going to want to know why. Why are you selling? And if the answer is, well, I'm stressed out, and you know, I've been doing this a long time, and it's more of a negative type of story, that's not going to be very valuable to them, right? They don't want to buy stress. They want to buy opportunity. So I think it's you know, there's reasons why, there are valid reasons why people want to sell. I brought this, for example, I've built this company, I've brought it up to where I think I could take it, and I want to turn it over to somebody that could take it farther than I'm capable of doing. And that's a very appealing story to the right buyer, particularly a strategic buyer that, you know, that has infrastructure in place and contacts and resources to be able to grow a business beyond maybe what an individual business owner can do. That, you know, I have that I'm retiring and I want to spend time with my family and I want to pursue other interests. I mean, that's a very legitimate, you know, reason to explain to a buyer why you're selling. So there's the psychological end of it. And then the more factual end of it is, you need to have just good organization, right? Your books and orders have to be in place. If they ask for information, you have to be able to produce it quickly. If they're waiting 2 or 3 or 4 weeks for you to get simple reports to them, they're going to start questioning, you know, how organized is this company? What kind of mess am I really buying? So those are all things, the psychological and personal end, as well as the business end, that we help a business owner get ready to plan their exit, as opposed to just kind of doing it haphazardly.
Thank you. What are some great networks where entrepreneurs can sell their business at the highest price, or perhaps some areas online where they can look at? Because what happens is, you know, when you have nobody wanting to buy a particular business, like its value could potentially decrease. And when you have high demand for a particular business and maybe a concentration of interest in a certain room, in a certain network, then all of a sudden the business could be, you know, sold at a higher price. You could tell me your opinion on that. And if yes, like what kind of networks could someone, you know, pitch their business to in order to make sure that the highest concentration of potential buyers are going to be in the room and, you know, make a relatively quick sale?
Yeah. So depending on the business size, the industry, there are some industry groups that you could make aware that your business is for sale and competitors may be interested in. I think, you know, probably one of the fastest ways to sell a business is to work with a business brokerage company that has an extensive network of buyers. So, for example, you know, I work with Trans World Business Advisors, and we're business intermediaries, so we could help our clients sell their businesses. Trans World is the largest business brokerage company in the world, and they have, you know, like 500,000 buyers in their network, right? So, and then they also have the largest number of buyers agents, brokers that are representing buyers looking to buy businesses. So once we list a business in Trans World system, all of their buyers and all of their buyers agents if they're looking for businesses in that area, size, industry, region, etc., however their profile's set up, they'll instantly find out that there's a new business for sale that meets their criteria. And then we could provide them the marketing information after they sign non-disclosure agreements, and they could start their due diligence process or deeper look to see if they want to put in a bid for the business. So I think that's a good way to go. If you're a little bit larger business, say 50 million and above, then you're probably working more with an M&A advisory firm that may have established buyer database that they could contact once your business is for sale.
Thank you. When you're selling a business for $50 million, I assume that all the buyers are such savvy investors. And of course, everyone is out to buy the business at the lowest possible price in order to make the highest possible return in the long run. Every investor that I meet, especially in property, or like, it doesn't have to be just property, like any business, they all say, make money when you buy, not when you sell. And of course, like when you sell, of course, the whole idea is to make even more when you sell. And so I'm wondering, what's your opinion on that? Like, what is a good strategy for you to be able to sell your business at the highest possible price, considering you're dealing with some extremely savvy investors?
Yeah, if you're dealing with savvy investors, like private equity or family offices, strategic buyers, they're going to be a little bit more savvy than if you're a private business owner selling to a private business buyer, individual to individual. I think it's important that you work with a business intermediary professional that's experienced in dealing with those types of buyers, because they're going to know, more or less the ins and outs of what, say, a private equity firm. If you're selling to a private equity firm or they're looking at buying your business, they're professionals and you may not be. Right. This may be the only transaction you've ever done. It's the one transaction, the biggest of your life. And you want to have good representation and take, all the things that you're not thinking about, put it onto a professional that does this on a full-time basis, could, de-risk that transaction for you. And really, I think you're taking away some of that risk that you're over your head in dealing with professionals.
Thank you. Tell us more about your family office and how it can help entrepreneurs to sell their business at the highest price, or anything else that could be relevant for entrepreneurs.
Yeah, so our family office is designed to really look at not just business sales. I mean, that's ultimately where our clients want to go, is they want to monetize what they've built. They want to harvest that value. It could be that they're transitioning that value to a management team or the next generation of family, right? So it's not always business sales, but it's a transition and a monetization event that ultimately they're going to have. And the family office is really designed to coordinate business strategy with the personal wealth planning, and not to do it in a siloed way. It's hard to plan your business strategy if you don't know what your personal wealth planning goals are, right? And it's hard to plan your personal wealth planning goals if you're not integrating the business strategy, because for most of our clients, 80% of their net worth is tied up in their private business. So, for wealth planners that don't provide business strategy and business advice, they're really only working with a very small percentage of that business owner's net worth, and it's just not as meaningful to them. So we think it has to be coordinated into a unified approach that's centered around the life and legacy that the business owner wants to design. So that's one of the key things that a family office does. And then we bring a process. We call it our Founders Freedom Process, that has a business owner where we work with them on two paths of planning. One is the business strategy to maximize value. The other is the wealth planning to maximize their personal net worth so we could secure their freedom. And it's multiple multidisciplinary advisors that sit around a table to discuss that client's, that business owner's life and goals and where they are now, where they want to go, and then put together strategic plans that will help guide them down the right path.
Thank you. Tell us more about boosting personal wealth. What steps would your family office be able to help with within that?
Well, there's a number of different steps. And, you know, when we're talking about personal wealth for an entrepreneur, again, on average, 80% of their wealth is going to be in the business. So if we're building personal wealth, we have to be able to build business value. And that is going to build their personal wealth. So we've talked a lot about that already in this podcast. So that's very important. That the business strategy is assessing value, protecting value, enhancing value, and ultimately harvesting that value. The wealth planning side is, number one, determining their freedom point to be able to know how much money they need in business assets as well as personal assets to be able to live the life that they want without financial constraints. Designing a lifetime cash flow plan, it gives a lot of clarity and confidence to a business owner so they could see where their income is going to come from, both while they're in business. Usually business owners are pretty good at understanding that, but they're not as good as knowing how they're going to get it after they transition out of the business. And a lifetime cash flow plan could give them that clarity into the future and see how they're going to get their income. It also helps to plan for tax efficiency around that cash flow, which could be a big difference maker for a lot of families. Reducing income taxes on their income, on their business, on their personal taxes, and planning for a reduced tax on the capital gain of a business sale could be meaningful for, you know, it could be six or seven digits of tax savings for business owners. And if, you know, going through wealth planning, and you can't do that at the last minute. That has to be something that is thought out a couple of years ahead of a sale if you're going to optimize your options for tax reduction. Investments are a big thing, making sure that the investment strategies are in alignment with your objectives, you know, making sure that your wealth is protected through the inevitable economic and market downturns. That's always important. And then some other things are typically important for our clients, like taking care of their heirs and making sure that their wealth transfer plans are in order, up to date, and will move seamlessly. And then finally, asset protection is important to make sure that they don't hit one of those financial icebergs that could be floating around out there, that they're protected from a catastrophic loss. And sometimes charitable planning comes into play as well for certain clients. And if that's the case for a specific client, we could help that. We could help them plan in a charitable way to have it be more impactful. You know, more impactful for them from a tax standpoint and income standpoint, as well as more impactful for the causes that they care about.
Thank you. That was such a fascinating interview. And tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you in order to get your help for selling their business at the highest price so they can also boost their business value and personal wealth.
Yeah, sure. So there's a couple of ways. Probably the easiest is on our website, clearpointfamilyoffice.com. You could connect with me there and schedule a phone call where we could just continue the conversation. There's also, we've also authored a book. It's called Exit by Design. So you can go to the book website, exitbydesignbook.com, and you could download an ebook version there for free if you'd like to, or listen to the audio version. And you could connect with me on that website too. And then there's LinkedIn and, you know, and so forth.
Thank you.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.